The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Is anyone in the world actually taking the time to listen? You know, perhaps you've asked yourself that question recently. There are so many voices that are coming at us from virtually every direction. And of course, with the advent of social media, as you know, nearly anyone can have a voice. And that voice can be pretty far-reaching. So again, with everyone having a voice, let me ask my question. Is there anyone who's actually listening? You know, I think this is one reason why counselors are in such high demand. But even counselors, though very well-intentioned, sometimes struggle to listen. I remember a couple years ago having the opportunity to sit down with a counselor myself to process some things that I was struggling with. He was a kind, older gentleman. He was approachable. He was amiable. He came highly recommended. But after our first session together, I realized that he had done the majority of our talking during our time. And so I thought, well, that was just our first session. Perhaps it was sort of his strategy. He wanted to kind of put me at ease. So he thought, okay, well, I'll do most of the talking, give him a chance to sort of learn a little bit about me. And so when he comes back, then maybe on our second session, he'll feel more comfortable to open up. So I was like, okay, that's the way I rationalized it. So I went back. I went for our second session, but unfortunately, a very similar thing unfolded. This kind gentleman still did most of the talking. So even a counselor who's well-intentioned and has the best of others in mind can struggle to listen. You know, listening doesn't come naturally. It's not our inclination to listen. You know, if it were, then James wouldn't need to command us to be quick to listen. But we do need to be reminded of this. And today is one of those days. I invite you to turn with me back to James as we continue our study this morning. We'll be in James chapter 1, looking at verses 19 through 21. As you're turning there, let me say how good it is to see you this morning. I know many of you, but for those I've not had a chance to meet, my name is Mike, and I serve here at the Easley campus as one of the life group leaders and deacons, and we're just very grateful that you're here this morning. I have the privilege to teach every couple of months, and so it's my joy to continue on this journey with you through the book of James. Let me just highlight again these verses. Again, James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Verse 20, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Verse 21, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. You know, if you've been with us so far for this journey through the book of James, you'll know that already we've gone through some pretty heavy issues. We've talked about trials and how trials have this ability to shape and to refine our faith. We've also seen how every trial carries with it its own set of temptations. And we've also seen the high premium that James puts on wisdom. Wisdom. You know, certainly we have an example of a wisdom statement in our text this morning. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Douglas Moo, in his commentary on James, points out here that James would be showing his dependence on what would have been a widespread Jewish wisdom teaching regarding speech and anger. And even now, as you hear this, if anyone spent any time, even a short amount of time in the book of Proverbs, you're probably thinking, this sounds familiar, and it should. Let me just reference a couple of Proverbs for you. Think back to Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Proverbs 18:2. "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." And later in that same chapter, Proverbs 18, verse 13, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." And of course, the familiar corollary, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, pun possibly intended, is the common adage, "Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and to remove all doubt." Possibly Abraham Lincoln, Mark Twain, I don't know who to give credit for that quote. But the point is this, what we have before us today is a wisdom statement, and James's original audience would have recognized it as such. So let's go ahead and look at this in a little bit more detail. As I've already pointed out, it seems very rare that people would actually take the time to listen. So I have to ask, why is it so hard for us to listen? I think there's a couple reasons. One is listening takes humility. We have to be humble enough to put someone else before ourselves. We have to be humble enough to say, "I will be silent and I will let this person speak. I will yield my time, if you will, to this person." When we listen, it shows that we value the individual that we're with. It shows that that person is important to us. And it shows that we recognize that person's dignity. Ultimately, when we choose to listen, we choose to give that person a gift. Let me say that one more time. Ultimately, when we choose to listen, we choose to give that person a gift. And can you imagine what a wonderful gift that would have been for someone going through the trials like James is writing about? For someone who's processing, how does this trial impact and mold and shape my faith? What a gift that would be to someone going through a trial like that. Now, if you're like me, sometimes reading through the book of James, it may seem like he's jumping from topic to topic. But I think it's actually really important that James gives us this wisdom statement here. And I think the placement right after verse 18 is also really important. Remember what we saw last week? Think back to verse 18. Look there with me. It says that it was God's will. It was his desire to bring us forth, to give us new life. And how did he do this? He did it through the word of truth. He did it through the gospel. Now you're thinking, Mike, I appreciate that, but I still don't maybe quite make the connection. So let me say it a different way. When we look at verse 18, when we let that sink in, it really begins to humble us. It realigns us. When we realize that it was God's will, when we realize it was God's good pleasure, it was his kindness to rescue us, then it produces in us a sense of humility. And what can we do in response to that? We can listen, right? We can be humble towards others. And we can have the right motivation for doing it because we know that we've been loved in an undeserved way. Now, with all that being said about listening, I'm going to give you all some homework this week. Now, I know no one likes homework. I can hear the groans. I don't like homework either, but here it is. This week, what I want you to do is make a conscious decision to listen well to someone. I want you to listen well to someone. And I want you to say, "I'm going to choose to give this person a gift." Now that last part, just say in your head. Don't start with that because that would make things very awkward. Just say to yourself, "I'm going to choose to give this person a gift. And then I want you to listen." Now, here's the thing. When you're listening, I don't want you to be thinking about what you're going to say as soon as that person stops talking. How many of us are guilty of doing that? I know I am, especially if you disagree with what's being said. You're silent, yes, but you're not really listening because your mind is formulating your rebuttal to what's being said. I want you to give the gift of listening. I just want you just to listen, even if you disagree. You're giving this person a gift. Now, here's the thing. If you are listening that well, chances are the person speaking is going to share with you something probably a lot more deep or meaningful than you were expecting. So don't be surprised if the person starts talking about something like, I don't know why no one else seems to care about climate change, but also ultimately gets to the point where I'm actually really fearful about what our world is coming to. Don't be surprised if the person starts talking about politics and you're like, oh no, here we go. And ultimately, if you keep listening, the person says, I'm really anxious and I think I might actually be depressed. Don't be surprised if they say something like, I've actually never told anyone this, but I'm really wrestling with doubt. If you are listening well, chances are that person is going to share something that is actually really meaningful and really important. So that's your homework this week. I want you to make a conscious decision to really listen well to someone. Now, those are a few thoughts on listening. Now let's move on to speaking. Some of you are finally saying, great, now I get to talk, right? And now I get to say what I want, right? No, wrong class. See what it says? We are to be slow to speak. If you are listening well, chances are that you will have a much better idea of where this person is coming from. You will have a much better idea of how to speak encouragement into this person's life. And you'll also see where you may actually be able to gently redirect this person if you get the sense that they're drifting. But here's the thing. The deeper the issue that person reveals to you, and it's going to be an important thing, remember, because you've already listened so well, the deeper the issue that person reveals to you, the more thoughtful you're going to need to be in what you say in response. Platitudes and trite phrases, they're not going to cut it here. In fact, if you've listened well enough, you may end up being so empathetic towards this person that you may not even think you can say anything at all. And if that's how you feel, it might be best not to say anything right then. It may actually be best just to sit with that person for a while. Do you remember Job's friends? You remember how he had three friends that came to comfort him? It says that they had heard about the evil that had come upon Job, and each of them came from their own place, and they came together to show him sympathy and to comfort him. But when they saw him from a distance, it says they didn't even recognize him. Remember what they did? It says that they sat with him on the ground for 7 days and seven nights, and quote, no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great. No one spoke a word to him. Now, I don't know about you, but I actually really liked Job's friends at first. I was like, these guys really know what they're doing. I liked these three friends quite a bit, right up to the point that they started to talk. And then if you have read the book of Job, you'll know things just really went downhill from there. If you're talking with someone who's going through a trial, and basically that's all of us right now as we're living through a pandemic, there is so much wisdom in being slow to speak. You know, perhaps the best thing that we could actually do for someone right now is just to sit down with them and just give them our presence. And if after you do that, if you really feel led to say something, do it slowly and choose your words well. So, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and now, verse 20, slow to anger. Verse 20 says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Be slow to anger. How many of you can remember being angry in the last 6 months? It's okay, there's no judgment here. Okay, good. How many of you can remember being angry in the last 6 weeks? Okay, all right. How many of you can remember being angry in the last 6 days? Good. I'm gonna stretch here. How many of you can remember being angry in the car on the way here this morning? I like it. We've got an honest group. Appreciate that. Now, what I want you to do is think about your most recent episode of anger. I'm going to give you a minute. Everyone, just go ahead. Think about that most recent episode of anger that you were struggling with. I've got mine. Everyone else? Okay. Think about that recent episode of anger. Do you think that had you listened well, might you have learned something, had you been a better listener, that would have prevented you from becoming that angry? Just one thought. Think back to that same episode of anger now. If you had been slower to speak, if you had chosen your words more cautiously, might you have been able to avert that episode of anger? Second. And third, again, think back to that same episode of anger. Did that episode of anger lead to greater righteousness in your life or the life of the person that you were angry with? Our anger, friends, is not helpful. The anger of man does nothing to produce the righteousness of God in our lives or in the lives of others. My road rage does nothing good for me nor the person that I'm honking at. This is an honest group. My frustration when I'm listening to a debate and they refuse to answer the direct question they're asked. My anger at the TV does nothing good in my heart. My anger when a friend or family member just does not seem to look at life the same way I do. My anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. Now, not only are we warned about anger, but let's look at the last command. In verse 21, it says, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." The put away here carries the meaning of actually removing a piece of soiled clothing. To take off a garment that's dirty, that's soiled, that's stained. So imagine getting to work and realizing you've actually got a huge coffee stain on your shirt. Or imagine getting to work and you realize you've got this huge avocado stain on your shoulder from where you gave your 3-year-old a hug just before you left. That's my personal favorite, by the way. Or what if you had literally changed a diaper right before you left and you get to work and you realize my shirt is literally soiled? Yeah, I see some nods. Honest group, I love it. In any case, what do? You take it off. You get rid of it, right? You have no business wearing that type of filth, that type of wickedness. And why? Well, think again back to verse 18. We know that it was God's will. We know that it was God's good pleasure to rescue us. Now, the reason we strive to get rid of the filth and wickedness is not somehow to make ourselves acceptable. That's not the point. That's the wrong motivation. The reason we strive to get rid of the wickedness and the filthiness is because of whose we now are, because we have been rescued through the word of truth. And what else? Let's look at verse 21 again. It says that we should receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Remember that it was God's will. It was his desire. It was his good pleasure to rescue us through his word. It was his kindness and grace. James was writing to believers at a time when they were going through tremendous trial and hardship. And he reminds them of this well-recognized wisdom statement to help them through this time. And you know, it's not an empty statement. I hope we've at least shown some of that. It's not an empty statement. These commands, these imperatives, they are critical and they are effective to help us love each other. And we will do this joyfully when we have the right motivation for doing it. And our motivation, again, is that it was God's will to first rescue us, to first pursue us. I'd like to go ahead and invite Doug and Ashley to come back. You know, as you'll know from those who've studied James, and as we'll see shortly, James really wants us not just to be hearers of the word, but he wants us to be doers of the word. He doesn't want us to just hear it and forget about it. He wants us to actually live it. And what's also true is that when it talks about God bringing us forth through the word of truth, he didn't bring us forth to live our lives then afterwards as individuals. We're actually to live in community with each other. We're to be a family. He brought forth a family for his good pleasure. All of us are going through something right now. It is impossible to maintain the status quo as we navigate a global pandemic. Marriages are strained. People have lost jobs or at least taken tremendous pay cuts. Numerous questions remain about the economy. The political climate is cruel, and it can be hard to know as believers how to engage in civics. It's hard to know how to engage with people in conversations about racial tensions. And there are protests which are destabilizing cities and threatening neighborhoods. So again, I come back to our original question. Is anyone listening? Let it be said of us that we are a people who really strive to listen well. Remember our motivation for doing so, that God has brought us forth through the word of truth, through the gospel. May we be quick to hear. May we be slow to speak. May we be slow to anger. Let's pray. Father, it is your great kindness. It is your character that you would show such unmerited mercy and favor towards people that simply don't deserve it. Please help us to be moved by this truth, to be humbled by it, to be humbled by it so much that we are willing to put someone else before ourselves, that we would love that person enough to listen well. And only if you give us the words to lovingly and helpfully speak into that person's life should we speak. Lord, we need your wisdom. Thank you for Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.